using science to debunk myths.
From the pandemic to climate fraud.
Thanks for listening to Sky Dragon Slaying on TNT Radio.
Hi and welcome. John O'Sullivan here. I'm CEO of Principia Scientific International. My colleague, my good friend, is Joe Olson. Joe Olson is a professional engineer from Texas. And today we're going to have an interesting conversation in the spirit of Easter. We're going to make it positive today. We're going to talk about something close to Joe Olson's heart. He's a great fan of history. He's a real scholar. He's a Renaissance man. And Joe, you gave a wonderful presentation with Jim Fetzer last Thanksgiving. And I'd like you to go through that again with us. You know, your thoughts on the history of Western civilization, your personal journey. Welcome, Joe. I'm looking forward to it. How are you today?
Oh, wonderful. And like I said, for Jim Fetzer back in Thanksgiving, we've been doing two or three shows. Now we're currently up to five shows per week with Fetzer and I, and they're on BitChute. And you can see that presentation. It was on November 25th. And so the easiest way to do it is to put in the search bar, J-O-E-O-L-S-O-N, and then pull up newest first, and then just scroll down to the date. And then that'll show you that hour-long presentation. And also then another one that we'll talk about briefly in a second, too. I had told Jim that the current news back at Thanksgiving was so depressing that I didn't want to talk about that. What I wanted to talk about was the cancel culture trying to destroy Western civilization, when Western civilization, by and large, has been very open, very objective, very positive for most of the people on the planet. And if we didn't have a system that was hijacked by a bunch of ruthless pirates, it would be absolutely the model for all humanity to live very peacefully in a wonderful, productive planet. So that's why I went into that discussion. And the advantage of the program that's on BitChute is that it's video also. So we're able to import images and we're able to, you know, put up text and stuff like that, graphs. And so we can provide a lot of information that you can't do in an audio only program. Now, to start today's program, there's two positive things that I want to talk about before we start talking about Western civilization. And one of those is the Dr. Judy Makovits newsletter this week. She's starting a Crimes Against Humanity tour in the USA, and it's going to start in Santa Rosa Beach, Florida, on April 21st, and then it'll be in Fort Myers on April 23rd. She's hitting about a dozen cities, including Houston, Dallas, LA, Chicago. And so if you go to her website, you can find the dates of a program near you. And I highly recommend that people attend events in person, and you can pick up signed copies of her book. She's an absolutely monumental scientist and one of the very first people to make presentations on this. She sent me a copy of her book, Plague of Corruption, a week before the ebook was issued. And I read it in like a day and a half and contacted Coast to Coast AM. And I said, her book is coming out on April 14th of 2020. And I think you ought to have her for a guest. So they contacted her. And sure enough, the day that her book came out with their ebook came out with her publisher, they had her as a guest on Coast to Coast AM. So that was real positive reinforcement. She's got some great people speaking with her on the tour. Just check on that. That's going to be a wonderful event. And then we had an absolutely irrefutably stolen election here in 2020. And it's not the first election to be stolen in the United States. But yeah, we
you're
need
referring to
do
the,
something.
Donald Trump, the Donald Trump, Joe Biden thing. It's
well, it was way more than just the national election. This affected local races and also the distribution of representatives and senators in the Congress. So this had enormous impact to give power to a group of people that they've had a year now to prove how horrible they are, and they've got the lowest ratings of any presidential term ever in the history of polling. So one of the people that I met in my journey through life, we had an author here in Houston named Larry Bell, who wrote a book called Climate of Corruption on the global warming scam. And he was making a presentation at a group that I'd heard about, but I'd never attended one of their meetings, called True the Vote, back in January of 2011. And so I went to the meeting. I bought a copy of his book from him, and he got up and spoke for an hour. And then during the question period, I got up and asked Kathleen Engelbreit, who's the founder of that group. And I said, look, he doesn't know anything about the science, and he's misrepresenting not only the science about global warming, but also the science about sustainable energy, because he's supporting all that. And he's supporting the false claims about fossil fuels. So she allowed me to speak for about 10 minutes. And after the meeting, we went out in the parking lot, and I explained to her and her co-founder that I had attended the 2009 premiere in Austin with Alex Jones and Richard Gage of Architects and Engineers for 911 Truth. I'm a trained structural engineer. I could tell immediately from the four-hour presentation that it was the 9/11 event was not airplane accidents into the side of the building, and that airplanes could not possibly have brought down 210-story tall buildings that were built to withstand 120-mile-an-hour hurricane wind loads, and it had five hurricanes during the 30-year period that those buildings were standing, and didn't even break a pane of glass. So I knew it was controlled demolition, but I knew that it couldn't be possible with the thermite hypothesis that these guys had proposed. So True the Vote went on to do enormous amount of research in voting fraud in a number of jurisdictions, including the Senate runoff race in Mississippi, where they had three precincts where they allowed Democrats to vote in a runoff where they were not qualified. If you vote in one party's primary, you're not allowed to vote in a runoff in the other parties. But they allowed over 10,000 votes. They stole a Senate seat and gave it to a rhino named Tad Cochran. And so she filed a suit against the Mississippi GOP, and the head of Mississippi GOP, Haley Barbour, said, well, the Mississippi GOP is a private party, and we don't have to furnish any of our voting records to you. And a rhino judge in Mississippi agreed with them. And so basically, we have a captive political system with two captive political parties that are playing this puppet show, and they're running the whole entire planet, and certainly our country, off a cliff. And so during the 2020 election, she had organized in multiple states. True the Vote is just an absolutely incredible thing. She's the bravest woman that I've ever met my whole entire life. So anyhow, they had managed to get certain things implemented in certain states, in particular CCTV cameras at ballot drop boxes in Georgia. And so they were able to collect the data from hundreds of these ballot drop boxes, where Zuckerberg and his wife spent $430 million bribing people to produce fake ballots and drop them off at fake drop-off sites. So that was one of the vectors that they used to steal the election. But back in 2014, a woman in Austin ran for city council position named Dr. Laura Presley. And Laura Presley was cheated out of her city council seat by voting machines in Texas, which they only are authorized by two companies, Hart InterCivic and Election Systems and Software. And they both use Optech tabulation systems. And all of these systems are owned ultimately by the Privy Council in England. So basically, they have been rigging elections since they did the first electronic voting systems in Nicaragua. And I believe it was back in 1992, Jimmy Carter went down there and said it was the most honest election in the history of the world. And they absolutely stole it and gave it to Moderno or whoever the heck it was. It was down in Venezuela at the time. But bottom line is, she ended up making presentations at over 400 Tea Party meetings. And then I saw her at about a dozen different meetings over the last 10 years. And she invited me to speak at a presentation, a hearing that they had in Austin with the Secretary of State's office. And that was in August 2015. And I went up there and spoke for my 3 minutes of time. And every one of the congressmen in Texas, which our Senate and House only meet every 2 years, and they only meet for 5 months because we had such a horrible time under Reconstruction that when we were allowed to be free in 1876, we decided that we didn't want to have a permanent state legislature, because we'd seen what that did under the 10 years rule by the imposed government of the Union on Texas. So bottom line is there was a constitution, and the constitution was violated by three different clauses in the manufacture of these voting machines. And so she got approval from the state Supreme Court that, yes, that was correct. The state legislature never did anything to change the voting machine laws in the state of Texas. And then they didn't do anything to do the drop-off ballots, which was part of a scam involving the COVID, because they knew that if they didn't have a way of forcing more mail-in ballots, they were going to be limited by the amount of jury rigging that they could do on the voting in that regard. But the voting machines themselves use a system called Fraction Magic. And if you go to a site called blackboxvoting.org, it's sponsored by a woman named Beverly Harris. And Fraction Magic is a 24-minute long presentation where they show how when you go to your precinct and vote, it's entered as 1,000th of a vote. And then all they have to do is punch in a little CD card or walk by with a cell phone that's got the programming data. And all they have to do is assign the outcome percentage that they want in each precinct. And then this thing automatically changes the algorithm so that you don't end up with fractional votes. So that, you know, you give everybody 1,000th of a vote. You say, okay, well, so many people came and voted today, and we want the outcome to be 60% for the dino and 40% for the rhino. So how do we split those votes up? And it'll split them up. And the funny thing about the election in Austin was, out of 10 precincts, the guy won by the same percentage in all 10 precincts, which was, he didn't do that well. Yeah, he had like 20 or 30% vote in most of these precincts in the original runoff, in the original election with four candidates, and then suddenly he's the most popular person in the world. She had majorities in some precincts, and then she ended up losing by 60%. So it was obvious, and she has four patents. She has a PhD in chemistry from University of Texas and owns four patents on chemical software processes. So they were messing with the wrong girl when they messed with Dr. Laura Presley, and they've got interviews with her up at the Black Box Voting site. Now, the reason this is important for a worldwide audience, because they're pulling the same trick on the Brexit vote in UK. They're pulling the same trick on your House of Commons votes in the UK. They're pulling the same trick down in Australia, and they pulled the same trick in Canada. Look at that clown in Canada. He got 30% of the vote in the last election. They require the parliament to have an election at least every 4 years. But if you know you're entering a period of time where you're going to do some really unsavory things, the prime minister can call an emergency vote, which is what he did in 2020. He ended up getting little over 30% of the vote. But because the Greens suck up to him, they threw their votes to him. And so he ended up with a majority. And that's how you end up with Twinkle Toes Trudeau being the leading Nazi in the Western Hemisphere. It's absolutely insane. So that's something that is really important. And the reason it's even more important is because of the work of True the Vote, they were able to collect 2 petabytes of information on what happened. Now, a petabyte is 1,000 terabytes, which is 1,000,000 gigabytes, which is 1 billion metabytes. So they've got enormous amount of data, and all of it correlates. Every one of these people that was what they call a mule would go to the stash house, pick up 100 ballots that were already pre-stamped and signed, take them over to the drop boxes. They would fan them open, take a selfie of themselves standing at the drop box, which is time, date, stamped on their cell phone signals, and then drop them in the box. And then they go pick up some more. There are people that were making $30,000 during the course of the election, that was their only yearly source of income. And it was all cash, and it was all cash coming through the Zuckerberg. Now, the reason that's...
Correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, just to jump in there, you're referring to these fake ballots. I believe that they were identified as fake because they weren't folded. And that was an oversight on their part because they were, as you say, coming out of the printing machine and delivered in batches. Nobody ever folded them, as you would if you were going to put something through the mail in the format of an envelope.
And you have 100 ballots with the same scribble signature using the same pen. I mean, the evidence is absolutely overwhelming, but the electronic evidence is just extremely damaging. So when we overturn that election, and the reason this is important is because True the Vote got in touch with Dinesh D'Souza, who's done some excellent movie productions. Not only did I meet Catherine Engelbreit at multiple True the Vote events here in Houston, but I also met Dinesh D'Souza when he was doing his premiere for Obama Nation movie here in town. And so I got to talk to him for about 5 or 10 minutes. So I'm a hands-on engineer, hands-on political activist. I try to go to as many events as possible. And that's why I'm recommending going to this event with Judy Makovich, because I've already seen multiple events with Peter McCullough and Richard Fleming and Brian Artis and John Bartlett. I've gone to these events. I've written about them at Principia Scientific, and I'm really concerned that if we don't grab a hold of what we've got left of the threads of our democracy worldwide and pull this out of the fan, then we're going to be exactly in the situation that they were talking about on the program just before this. We're going to end up with a transhuman fourth industrial revolution with medical tyranny, and it looks like they're staging everything they can to make World War III happen.
Shout out here for Judy Makovich, because as you know full well, she was prosecuted criminally, wasn't she? She was effectively set up and targeted because she was a whistleblower. She was blowing the whistle. She was an insider. She decided to reveal what was really going on in the fraud, in the use of vaccines and so forth. And because she was aware of this, because she knew how dirty it was, she was targeted. And so she actually lost her career. And we need to speak out for people like that, because it's only because people like her who do risk their career that people like you and I have the opportunity to go on programs like TNT Radio Live and talk about this. That this is probably why we're not getting as many whistleblowers as we'd like to see, because the tyranny that's imposed is very good at clamping down on those who would like to reveal the truth. But as you know yourself, getting that truth out there is the hardest part of it. And, I just want to give a shout out to Dr. Judy Makovich, because she is a hero. Carry on, Joe.
Yes, and she did work with Peter Daszak, and she worked with the guy down at Duke University or North Carolina University, and she worked with Fauci and Collins. So she knows all these people from 30 years of work exposure at Fort Detrick. So she worked in the bioweapons lab, and she knew how dangerous the things that they were doing there were. So she's really a person that's worthwhile seeing. And then the next thing is the True the Vote has come out with a film called 2000 Mules. And like I said, it's produced by Dinesh D'Souza. They're having a premiere at 250 movie theaters in the United States on May 2nd and again on May 4th. And then I think it's on May 7th that they're having a big event that's going to be a Zoom event that can be logged on internationally from Las Vegas. So I highly urge people to do that, because trust me, the voting systems you have in your country are as defective, any of the Five Eyes countries are as defective as the ones we have here in the United States, and your elections are being stolen from you. And in May, you're going to have an election in Australia, and you need to get rid of Scott Morrison, and you need to get rid of the rest of the clowns, Danny Andrews, and all the rest of the clowns that have ruined your country and are going to finish ruining it if they're allowed to remain in office. So...
Give a shout out to the French election, Joey. While we're on the topic now of elections, upcoming elections, the ongoing election in France is very interesting with Le Pen. Le Pen, obviously, with her background as very high, very nationalistic, extreme right wing, apparently, and Macron, who is the golden boy of the globalists. You know, he was elected out of nowhere in 2017, and he's been a disaster, you know. And, you know, we've got to make a case here for election rigging there. I mean, do we label that as another case of where people need to be aware, or do you think those elections will be free and fair? I mean, do you have any knowledge on that?
I don't know if they use the Dominion systems over in France, but most likely they do. So I'm skeptical of any election in any democracy, because once this group of bandits that run our planet figured how to rig the game, they've been rigging the game for centuries. And matter of fact, there's a guy that has a great channel called The History Guy. And he did a presentation on the most blatant theft of American elections in the 19th century. And that was the election of Rutherford B. Hayes, where there's plenty of documented evidence that he lost by 15% of the vote. And that was in 1876. And then we know that they have a habit of running three candidates so that they can split the vote. Lincoln was in a three-way race and had like 39% of the vote. Woodrow Wilson was in a three-way race and had like 36% of the vote. The first time that Slick Willie ran, who's Bill Clinton to some people, but Slick Willie to me, he ended up having like 39%. And the second time he only had like 41%. So we've had these minority, quote, elected presidents that have turned out to be a disaster for all of humanity. Look at the number of wars that these people have drug us into and the amount of human suffering. The thing that's got Macron really got his knickers in a twist over is that it appears there's about 100 French Foreign Legion and 100 NATO officers that are trapped in the steel plant in Mariupol. And the Russians are going to go in with flamethrowers. They know where the air vents are that supply fresh air to that building. And they're either going to pump them full of seawater and drown the rats out, or they're just going to throw some flames in. It looks like flames are going to probably be the easiest way to do it, because when you see the flamethrower pull up in front of the factory and drop its nozzle down into this air vent, what's obvious to anybody that has contact with reality is that you're going to be burnt out of that hole the same way we burnt the Japanese out of the holes on Iwo Jima and Okinawa. So, you know, it's inevitable that the Russians are going to find enough damaging information about the behavior of NATO, the UN, the CIA, and certainly all the members of the EU. And there's an enormous fragmentation going on with the EU right now in the number of member states that are not participating in this boycott Russia thing and Putin is bad, because it's a manufactured narrative the same as every war that we've ever had. And that's the reason why I didn't really want to get too deep into current events, because it's not real pleasant at this particular point.
No, we meant to have a nice conversation, and we've actually gone into, you know, the nitty gritty of it. I mean, I pick up on what you're saying, and I do feel we're very lucky. I mean, to keep the note positive, we're very lucky. There are, you know, independent journalists out there, and amazingly, they're actually allowed to broadcast on YouTube still, and I do follow them. I'm sure you do too. You know, one of my favorites is Gonzalo Lira and Patrick Lancaster. Ex-Marine.
Oh, Patrick's incredible. Yeah,
absolutely heroic work he does, and pretty much broadcasting every day. He speaks. I think he's been in the Ukraine area since 2014. I believe he's married to a local woman. He speaks good Russian. He's welcomed by everybody.
Little I Earl Gray is also an English expat that lives in Moscow and is married to a Russian woman. And he does a daily broadcast. And Alex Christofal, and I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce his name, but it's Christofourou. He's from Greece, and he does one or two. He does with the Duran. He does a Duran program.
Yeah.
Yes.
With Alexander Malkouris. Yeah. Alexander Malkouris.
Right. Very good, intelligent guys, very good perspective, very enjoyable. And they're, you know, that's the way we're going to beat these people is by having enough information to know all the things that they're lying to us about.
Yeah, so, I would definitely urge people to do that. You're making a very good pitch, Joe, and just make a shout out for these guys. Again, let's just run through Richard Medhurst, another one. You haven't mentioned Richard Medhurst.
Richard Medhurst
is half British, half Syrian, I believe. He's got a very strong Arabic. He's multilingual. He presents the case. He's pro-Palestinian. He's very much a. His ethnic origin is, mixed. He comes from a British Anglo-Arab culture. So he's, I think, people like that, you can see both sides. They are worth listening to. And if you read the comments, he gets a lot of support from people who live in the area. And this is the thing. I mean, when you're a researcher like you and I, we do try and, dive deep into this and try and get the facts from people who you don't always agree with. And this is the problem with groupthink. We're spoon-fed in America, we're spoon-fed in Europe. And so much of the time we just follow the narrative because, either we're lazy or we're too busy. So it's extremely important that we do open up our mind to opposing viewpoints and have a debate. What I'd like to do, Joe, is just, we're going to have to go for a short commercial break and we'll pick it back up after that. So this is John O'Sullivan, TNT Live. We'll be back after the break.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
There is a special place in South Dakota, a place of hope, love, safety, and opportunity for Native American children. This place is St. Joseph's Indian School. Here, we preserve traditions, provide Lakota kids a safe place to learn, attend to the mind, body, heart, and spirit of every child in our care. To learn more, go to helplakotakids.org today.
Oh, yeah, that's the stuff. Oh, I haven't been through the car wash in ages. My gears are all clogged up and my wheels are as stiff as boards. Oh, and you could do with driving me a little more sensibly. All that revving actually increases CO2 emissions. Changing gears at lower revs can save you money too. And they say us cars don't care about the environment. Honestly, I don't know why I bother. Oh, yes! Oh, just there. That's not...
Are you thinking what your car's thinking? Find out how to drive down your emissions and fuel costs by up to £120 a year at tfl.gov.uk.
Where progress is influenced by revolution and evolution. This is today's News Talk Radio.
TNT.
TNT.
Hi, welcome back. John O'Sullivan with my good friend and colleague from Principia Scientific International, Joe Olson. Joe, before the break, we're trying to keep things on a positive line, and we were talking about the benefits of doing our own research. I mean, YouTube, you and I both know that's been among the worst in censorship. We know that that is always a problem for us. And we gave the few names of those people who are giving very good independent journalism from Ukraine, which is highly important to counter the extreme viewpoints of the narrative over the mainstream, which is obviously gung-ho, warmongering. What I'd like to do is just give a little shout out for the billionaire, Elon Musk. As we all know, he's hit the headlines this week, doing an amazing job if he's true to his word. Free speech is important to him. He's making the decision to invest in Twitter, making a bid to take over Twitter with the sole purpose of giving it free speech back to the people. So, on that note, let's pick up the conversation again, Joe. You carry on with what you were saying, but let's try and keep it positive if we can.
Yeah, well, we had a really great program last week with Cliff Sanders on electronic, being able to manipulate biological systems positively with electronics. And then we were fishing around for guests to have this week, and we had mentioned Dr. Pierre Rotibli, who's a professor of radiology, and he's actually the head of the radiology department at Ohio State University, one of the presenters at the Electric Universe back in 2014. I followed his stuff for a long time. And one of his colleagues is an Australian named Steve Carruthers. So we reached out to them, and they were not able to make a program this week, but they said, we definitely want to do one in the future. So it's like, well, who else can we come up with? So there's a Canadian that's a historian. He's a young guy, has a little bit of what I would call confirmation bias. But I'm more than happy to engage anybody that's informed that wants to have an honest debate on subjects. So we reached out to him, and he said he was available this morning, but he couldn't be this afternoon. But he said definitely next week. And yeah. So it was like, well, great. And so I went and I've watched probably a dozen of his presentations on his Canadian Patriot 1776 website. And he's very articulate, very knowledgeable, very engaging to listen to, interviews with a whole bunch of different people. So it's going to be a really great program. But this is what gave me the subject for today's program, is that he had done a thing about the city of Venice, which I'm sure he's accurate on the doshas and the way that they've set up this Babylonian money system and how it was just transferred over from various previous jurisdictions and ended up in Venice, and then how it was moved to Amsterdam and then ultimately to the city of London. And that's where we have the banking defects. But he made a point about the technology of the Middle Ages, when we think everything was Dark Ages, and they built some incredible structures. And the one that he mentioned was a dome of the Santa Maria del Forte, D-I-O-R-E, which was built between 1296 and 1436 in Florence. And he said it has the largest masonry dome in the world at 45.3 meters. And I thought, well, funny enough, Jim Fetzer and I discussed that back on Thanksgiving Day in 2021. And I have some interesting facts to share with him. And that is that the Pantheon, which is the largest unreinforced concrete dome in the entire world, was built in 125 AD, and it's 43.3 meters in diameter. So over the 1500 year period between the completion of the Pantheon and the completion of the dome in Florence, they were able to increase the diameter of that thing by 2 meters. And another one that he doesn't mention is the Hagia Sophia, which is in Constantinople, was built by the Eastern Orthodox Christians, completed in the 6th century. It's a 33-meter dome. And the important thing about the Pantheon and the Hagia Sophia is that both of those are in highly active earthquake zones. Now, I don't know what the earthquake situation is in Florence. It might be in an earthquake zone, but I just don't remember it having the earthquakes like they've had in Rome and the earthquakes they've had in Istanbul. So, you know, bottom line is there's some technologies that are really, really important. Now, the thing about the presentation that I made to James Fetzer, as I did part of it on my personal inspection of some of these historic sites. And the earliest stuff that I've seen would be the pyramids in Saqqara, west of Cairo, out in the desert. And I also went down to Abu Simbel, which is on the border of Sudan and Egypt. And we went all across Lake Aswan and visited a dozen different shrines on that lake. And then we went down the Nile to Luxor and Karnak, and then went and visited the Great Pyramids in Cairo. So the interesting thing about the temples at Abu Simbel, they were built 2500 BC. So that's, you know, like 4,500 years ago. And when Rudyard Kipling visited that site in the 1890s, he said that watching the sunrise at Abu Simbel was the most incredible thing he'd ever seen on this earth. And here's a man who had traveled extensively. And so I have a feeling that if he says it's the most incredible thing, it was something I need to get up in the middle of a February morning in the year 2000 in the 40 degree cold and bundle up and watch the sunrise on these temples. But the problem is that when Rudyard Kipling saw these temples, they were down in a 100-foot deep canyon. And the canyon had the Nile River that wound around through there. And so it had lots of rich soil deposits along the banks. And because it was sheltered from the sunlight in the southern part of Egypt, which is, you know, just basically Sahara with one little trickle flowing through it, the canyon was just teeming with wildlife and steamy hot. And so when the sun rose on the temple, which these are statues that were carved into the rock that were almost six stories tall. And when the sun would come down those canyon walls, it would probably be at like 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, and you'd have the steam rising up from the river, and you'd have all the tropical animals and plants that were down in there. And so for him to see it, it was absolutely incredible. What happened was that the British had control of Egypt in the late 19th century, and they wanted to have a stable water supply and eliminate flooding along the Nile. So they built the first Aswan Dam, and it was about 100 feet high, and it backed water up into this canyon, but it didn't flood the canyon. Well, when Nasser took over, he decided that he was going to nationalize all the British-owned farms that were in Egypt and take away 1,000-acre tracts that were very highly productive, had a really good cotton production, and he was going to give 40 acres and a mule to everybody that was of an Arab extraction. And so basically they threw the British out, they nationalized the cotton and sugar industries in Egypt, and basically destroyed the economy. And he wanted to build this 200-foot-high dam, and he couldn't get any Western financial support for it. So the Russians came in. They said, we'll loan you the money and we'll give you the expertise to build the dam, but we don't have any extra money for the monuments that are in there, the historical stuff. So there was a rally worldwide. They managed to come up with enough preservation funds to move a lot of these different historical sites from the canyon up to the top of the ridge. So when you go to see Abu Simbel, you pull up and there's looks like a typical industrial metal building that's 50 years old with a rusted roof, and you drive around the front of it, and then here's the statues that you would have seen down in the canyon, and inside they have the carved rooms that were carved back into the canyon. And not only do they have the Ramesses monument, which is the Abu Simbel big statues, but they also have one to his wife Nefertiti, and she had a separate temple, so they moved both of those up. Now, in the course of talking about Western culture, when I was with Jim Fetzer, one of the readers said, well, you're claiming, you know, credit for Western culture having Egyptian roots, and he says, yeah, that's cultural appropriation. And I went, No, actually, if you think about it, the Egypt was occupied by the Syrians, the Persians, the Nubians, and then in, let's see, got my notes here. Notes are on a different page. I want to make sure I get the dates correct on this. Yes, the Alexander the Great drove the Persians out of Egypt in 332 BC, and then it was a Greek colony until 30 BC when the Romans came in, and then the Romans occupied Egypt until 395 AD. And so the Greeks, a lot of what we think of is, you know, we think of Western culture being started by the Greeks, but the Greeks absorbed a lot of their information from the Egyptians. And so if you really think about it, Western culture is Earth culture. We've tried to provide search the world for the best solutions to everything and improve on those. And that's what Western culture has been about. And that's why I am repulsed by the people that are, you know, anti-white, anti-Christian, anti-Western government, you know, and they need to realize all of the positive things that have happened, and the positive, even exponential increase in positive things could happen if we didn't have this management leadership structure that is frankly demonic, that has misguided all of humanity for way too long. And this is what we're hoping to overthrow with honest elections, and hoping to overthrow with honest information about medical medical options and real cause of medical problems. So that's why we
let's give a shout out also to the Indian culture. I mean, the other week we had on Dr. Nisa Khan. And she very, very like you, she's a great believer in culture, her own culture, the Vedic culture. She's a native of Bengal, now obviously Bangladesh. And, she's a world-class scientist in the field, a leading LED expert. I think she's got like 6 to 10 patents. She's a US resident. And, the importance of what she said, though, was the history of mathematics. The idea that we have this idea that Sir Isaac Newton is like a god in modern science. And Dr. Khan was saying, well, if you go back far enough, you'll find in Vedic culture that these concepts were talked about then. And it's quite possible that, the idea of these cultures, they're reinvented, aren't they? I mean, we know about the climate change thing. A lot of cultures collapsed through natural forces. And, Atlantis, for example, that's to some people a myth, but to many others, it's almost historical fact, because with the rise in sea levels over time, coastal cultures were washed away. And there's so much of our history we don't even know. And we're actually beginning gradually over time through more advanced techniques in archaeology. But we're learning that perhaps it's quite feasible that we're just another reincarnation of a primitive culture, and that, modern civilization, we can identify going back 4,000 or 5,000 years in the modern era. Well, perhaps it can go back 10,000, 15,000 years. So, this debate now is beginning to happen, amongst many people with more of an open mind. And I welcome what you're saying, because it's, we have to keep a broad perspective on this. And the issue I like what you're presenting now is that the Western culture, like Dr. Khan says, is a kind of appropriation of Indian culture, and the idea that, the Romans weren't very good at their numeric system, with the idea they didn't have a zero. We needed the birth of Islam, Islamic culture, to preserve the ancient Greek traditions. There's a lot we have to thank different cultures for, and you and I are not jumping up and down and saying Western culture is the best. But what we are saying is that you have to look everywhere and assimilate what you can, and there's nothing wrong with assimilation. So yeah, I didn't want to jump in too much, Joe, but you carry on your point.
The Brahmic culture in southern India had 10-digit numerical system 2,000 years ago, and they were conquered by the Muslims in 700 AD, and that's why we call it Arabic numbering system. It's because the Arabs came in and stole it, and we stole it from them, if you want to call it stealing. But you have to look back at the origins of all this stuff. There have only really been, to our knowledge, four scientifically literate cultures, nodes in the whole planet. And that would be the Mediterranean culture, the Indian subcontinent culture, the Chinese culture, and then the Mesoamerican culture. And people might say, well, the Japanese, they had a written language and they had math. Well, they didn't have that until, I don't remember the exact date. I think it was around 1000 or 1200 AD, something like that. China decided to invade Japan, and that's when they had the first kamikaze storm. And it was a big storm that sunk most of the Chinese fleet, and the survivors that washed up on the shore, the Japanese ordered them to teach them how to read and write. And so they used the same cuneiform that the Chinese did, but every word was different. And since then, they've modernized and stylized the Japanese, where the Chinese look at it and they go, I can kind of see what he's saying. But if you look at classic, 12th century Japanese writing, it was the same as Chinese writing, even though the spoken words were completely different. So, there's a little bit of cross culture there. But bottom line is, we had four cultures. And it's very possible that they had a common root, because if you look at the architecture, you look at the mathematics, the science, the astronomy, all four of these culture nodes had very highly developed systems, And they also have a lot of common myths. So that's another thing that would seem to indicate that there was a common origin for a civilization that,
the
that
flood
we
myth,
are yet
essentially,
to discover.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up like you in the Abrahamic tradition. You know, we all shared the, you know, Christianity, Islam, and you know, the Jewish religion. We all know the Noah story, Noah's Ark, and so forth. And this ties in extremely well with what we've learned in climate change. We know that we go through interglacial periods. There's periods of rising sea levels and falling sea levels. And you know, one of the issues was pointed out that a lot of these dramatic events historically aren't just gradual; they can be quite dramatic. And you know, the idea of the looking at something like the Mediterranean Sea, for example, that for different parts in geologic time, that was actually a sea, a separate sea cut off from the Atlantic. And the Straits of Gibraltar, you know, that was a land, an isthmus you could cross from Europe to Africa. And just through a sudden change in melt water and ice, you'd get flooding, dramatic flooding, and literally in space of weeks, rather than the concept we have today of gradual climate change. You know, climate change can be very, very dramatic and sudden. And as we know, you know, the idea of meteoric showers, comets, and so forth, you know, we know that it isn't just within our own planet, it's also from the cosmos. So, you know, and I do feel that there's something here, and you either know it intuitively or you don't, but you kind of put the pieces together, and you do kind of sense that with the prevalence of, you know, bodies in the cosmos, you know, we are, you know, routinely being passed by, you know, very large bodies, you know, meteors, asteroids, so forth. It only would take, you know, a minor change in a trajectory of a body, and, you know, we could be wiped out again. We go back to the mass extinction of the dinosaurs, and it's only a matter of time. It's not if, it's when. So, you know, I do take your point, Joe, and, you know, we have to be more open-minded. We're kind of diverted from seeing these things, aren't we, Joe? We're kind of diverted from the real issues, and we're focusing on Ukraine, but a lot of us actually think that's a diversion from other things that are going on. For example, the Great Reset, or covering up what's going on with the pandemic fraud. So there's Machiavellian motives here, aren't there, Joe? And, you know, you and I are trying to put the pieces together like a lot of people.
Well, Earth is a educational system, so it's a matter of how much you want to educate yourself and educate the people around you. We have a culture that has been mesmerized by the 60 cycle in the U.S. and 50 cycle per second in Europe. Images on a TV screen that are sitting there, and they call it programming for a reason, because they know what they want you to think, and all they have to do is program you to think that way. And so that's the nefarious thing that's going on, quote, with the entertainment system. And we have this circus and bread mentality of the population. They're more than willing to sit and tell you about, you know, the latest football game, or the latest, you know, Oscar slap, or whatever the particular thing is that they're investing their life in, instead of understanding fundamental things about life and educating themselves and their children to be able to deal with a world that is just incredibly complex, incredibly beautiful, incredibly orderly, and that life is here for a greater purpose than to sit around and eat popcorn and watch movies. You know, so we've got people that need to be motivated to have more spiritual-based motivation in life, instead of just, you know, being consumers and just being passive voyagerist and watching the world go by and thinking that, you know, this is all there is to life. There's so much more if you just bother to invest yourself in learning, and you will find some really exciting things. And like I said, I'm a hands-on person when it comes to political rallies. I've been to probably 1,000 of them, 2,000, whatever. I'm a very avid reader. I've probably read 2,000 books since I got out of, matter of fact, I was reading books all through high school and junior high, just because I really enjoyed reading. And so I've made a point in my whole life to educate myself absolutely as much as I can. And when I find contradictions in life, I go ahead and speak out about them. I've got 180 interviews at BitChute, most of those with James Fetzer. We had dozens of interviews on YouTube when they flushed all of the content that he had on YouTube. I've done five two-hour interviews on Coast to Coast AM with 615 radio stations talking about global warming, green energy, and peak oil. And then I've got some great articles that I wrote that are posted at Veterans Today on what really happened in 9-1-1, the nuclear vaporization of the Twin Towers. And I've also spoken about those things and with our videos that are on BitChute with James Fetzer. And funny enough, I've also spoken about the silly Apollo mission because
This is something I enjoy with you. I mean, we've avoided getting into it on Principia Scientific International because there's only so many conspiracy theories that we can really dive deep into at a time. And we've deliberately kept that on the back burner for many, many years, Joe. And I think your time is coming and it will be something that we will delve into because it is definitely there's something there that is worth talking about. And you know, you've been very, very patient with us, you know, the rest of the team, because we are kind of, you know, we all come from diverse backgrounds. We all have different views. And, you know, we know there's only so much people can absorb at a time. And, you know, the climate change issue was massive. 12 years right. We've been working on that. And then the pandemic came. And again, it's the same characters involved, isn't it, Joe? The same people behind the scenes pulling the strings. And it's the same modus operandi. You know, they use the media, they use so-called science, pseudoscience. You know, you've been you know, at the forefront exposing the so-called lukewarmers, the controlled opposition. And we see it now. We see it in every walk of life. We see that the fake politicians, the fake scenario of debate in your country, in America. You have your fake politicians. They're all sold out, aren't they? And it's same in UK where I live, and it's same in Australia. You know, there's a kind of a narrative that's set up. It's a fake narrative, and you can only debate so much because everything's limited. But I think you hit the nail on the head when you said about spirituality, and I think that transhumanism is making us rethink this. And I sense it like you do. Perhaps there's a move back towards the religions that perhaps, you know, all these catastrophes, you know, they've overplayed their hand. The internet is our friend. We are able to talk and share ideas. We're able to, you know, God willing, you keep doing this, you know, thankfully with TNT Radio Live and Principia Scientific International, you with James Fetzer and other platforms. We're keeping it going, and you know, I'm very optimistic, and I do want to keep on to that theme, Joe. Just keep optimistic today. It's Easter, you know. We're trying to, you know, look at the bright. You know, we decided we were going to keep it upbeat, and it's so easy to talk on negative signs, but I am so optimistic. I mean, I people think I'm crazy when I say that, you know, with all everything that's going on. But you know, like you say, behind the scenes, the election fraud in the US is being exposed very gradually, although the mainstream media aren't talking about it. But you feel like the dam is about to burst, isn't it? You just know it's about to burst. And I believe the Hunter Biden laptop is going to be coming out next week or very soon. And these things have been suppressed, you know, over a year that's been suppressed. So we keep banging on the door. People are gradually waking up. But the issue is critical thinking, critical reasoning skills that are not as widespread as we'd like them to be. So there are people like you and I and other good people, you know, TNT Radio Live and Principia Scientific, Jim Fetzer elsewhere. We're doing our bit as best we can. And, you know, we feel positive. I know I feel positive. So do you feel that too, Joe?
Yeah. And, you know, I wouldn't rag on NASA if they had a record of being honest about presentations. But they've been lying, and they have control over the NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and they've been tampering with the past temperature records in order to emphasize the fact that we don't have a global warming crisis that they claim we do. So they're all on board with that particular agenda. And then the thing that really bothered me is there's a group, a guy, Aaron Dykes, and his wife, Melissa, who do Truth Stream Media. And they did a presentation about 3 or 4 years ago on a 4-hour long NASA conference that was held in July of 2001 called Future Wars 2025, in which they said that in order to have continuation of government, they needed to have control of humanity using trauma-based mind control. And if you watch the 100 slides that are in that particular presentation, you too will no longer support NASA.
No. Well, what we're going to do, Joe, is we're coming up now to the hour, to the break, and we're going to take a break for the news. And after the news, we'll try and retain our focus on the positive sides and try and avoid the negativity. But we'll have a little bit in there. But the idea is to try and keep perspective. So Joe Olson, I'm looking forward to our second hour after the break. This is John O'Sullivan with TNT Radio Live.